got my ratings here if you want. I'm an addict named Frank. Good morning. I'm clean by the grace of God in this program, Narcotics Anonymous. I'm clean by the grace of God in this program, Narcotics Anonymous. Can you hear me? That mic just bothers me. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm not real comfortable with talking in the mics. Thank you. I'm nervous. Couple hours worth of sleep. Well, I'm an addict that thinks that I'll miss something, so I stayed out. I'm being honest. My support group told me I got to give it all. There's no topic, but I got the topic, and it's honest. So I'm not going to leave it all here. So if you see me through the rest of the convention and you don't talk to me, I'm okay with that. My sponsor told me he'll still love me. So I can learn how to love myself. I never would imagine staying clean. This wasn't ever in my vocabulary, surrender. I never thought that I'd ever make it here. An active addiction, I hated Narcotics Anonymous. I truly knew that people here got clean and stayed clean here. And thank God I made it here. Man. I used for a long time. I had it good when I was a kid. When I was a day old, I was adopted. I was left on a hospital bed. My mom and dad adopted me when I was about a day and a half old. My real mom left the country, left me there. My dad, I don't know whatever happened to him. But my parents did the best they could for a good period of time. My brother and my sister, which were blood from my parents. I don't know how it all started. I don't know how my addiction started. I don't think I was an addict when I was born. I was raised up in a good neighborhood. Had everything a little boy ever imagined. Played boys and girls club ball. Had trophies in my room. Had posters on the wall, skateboards. We'd hang out in front of the house at night. It wasn't about fighting, it was about kicking the ball around. Playing basketball, having fun out in front of my house. I didn't know that I was full of anger, wherever my anger came from. Well, I believe it was just something inside of me that was just waiting to come out for a long time. Had a lot of friends when I was growing up, and like my parents used to take us to soccer and football practice, and they would show up and support the team and the neighborhood. Everybody my age and my brother's age all used to come, the boys and girls club, and play ball. We looked forward to showing up and playing other areas in our county. And be honest with you, I'm getting in touch with that today. The little boy of where I was when I was a kid. I'm going back to where I was before all this self-destruction started in my life. Before I became that hateful and bitter man that I was when I came here, full of prejudice and hate. First day in seventh grade, in junior high school, I got to school. Blacks were on one side, whites were on the other, and that's what I seen. By lunchtime, the paddy wagon was up in front of our school, the dog sniffing the lockers, and people were fighting after school. People were being picked on, and I couldn't understand why all this was happening. I'd never seen nothing like this. I didn't see it when I was playing ball and having fun. I didn't see the prejudice. I didn't see the hate in people's eyes that people were having for people. I just found myself getting comfortable with it. I had it all. Mom wanted the best for me. I know that. My mom did. I share a lot about my mom because I believe that's the first taste of unconditional love I ever had, that someone believed in me. She loved me unconditionally, you know, and with that love, I believe it's just that I knew there was something ingrained in me that was good. I knew that something inside of me was good, that there was a good person inside of me, you know. And I should be able to look at my trophies and say, hey, Frank, you're a good guy, you know. That's really neat that you're out there and you're accomplishing something, you know. And I didn't want to end up like I did. I didn't want to hurt the people that I did in active addiction. I didn't want to do the things that I did. I didn't want to become what I became. A couple months after that, in seventh grade, I was sniffing glue in a brown paper bag, drinking TJ Swan behind my elementary school. It started like that. It just kept happening like that. I'm not going to tell you I came in here on the bottom. My life stayed at the bottom. It just stayed at the bottom. I'm not going to glorify it. It was miserable. At 17 and a half years old, my friends were graduating with diplomas, going to colleges, had settled down in relationships, were getting degrees, were starting their life, getting out of school. I was laying on a hospital bed with cirrhosis of liver and hepatitis C, sleeping out of my parents' shed, 85 pounds. So like, it ain't good for me. It just didn't. It just didn't. I'd rather have slept like that. I'd rather have gone and knocked on my mom's door and asked for $10 than wanting to come in and get warm and going in the shed in the middle of winter. I just didn't care. My disease progressed real fast. A lot of my friends, a lot of people that I used with thought I wasn't going to make it to 21. I didn't think 21 was ever going to turn it. I really didn't. I didn't think I was going to live that long. Physically, I was beat. Physically, I was beat down. 17 years old, 85 pounds, laying on a hospital bed. I did like the reading said. I substituted a drug for another. Thought maybe I could get healthy again. I did it. About a year and a half later, my disease progressed again. In the process of all that insanity, as a teenager, I was in and out of juvenile detention centers. My mom always in court, wishing and hoping that they would lock me up so my mom would know where I was at. You know, my disease progressed real fast because in the process of that, I was the kind of addict that was just full of this anger inside of me. I couldn't keep my hands to myself when I was a kid. I terrorized. I broke the windows out of my house. I ran through the neighborhood spray painting things and tearing down Christmas tree lights. It was just like this rush of being able to express myself, and it was the only way that I knew how. There was something inside of me that I couldn't never tell nobody that I was really hurting. But some people that loved me for so much knew that I was hurting inside. You know, family members happened to know that, you know, that I was hurting, man. And it was the only way I could express myself was with hate. Was with anger in my hands. And I paid the consequences. I spent a lot of my juvenile life, my younger adult life, in jail. You know, and there was no Narcotics Anonymous then. In PG County and Washington, D.C., there was no Narcotics Anonymous meetings. You know, nobody came to me and told me that, Frank, you know, there's hope. There's a way up. There's a way out. You can get clean and stay clean. Nobody brought me that message. You know, I believed that I was an addict and I was going to stay one. And this is just what my life was ahead of me. And I thought I was really comfortable living the life that I lived for so long. You know, in the process of my active addiction, I met a girl about 21 years old. I couldn't get the needle out of my arm. I couldn't stop. She got pregnant. We had a healthy little boy. Named him Frankie. My family was really happy. I thought this was about the time in my life that my life was going to change, and I was going to stop doing the things that I was doing. I took the spike out of my arm. Again and again and again, I started substituting one drug for another. And again and again and again, the ends were always the same. I couldn't keep my hands to myself with her. I couldn't stop using. My disease progressed in all areas of my life. I couldn't come home to him and her. In the process of more insanity, we had another child. 2 years after that, we had another child. Another year after that, in the process of losing everywhere we ever lived and putting her and my children on the street, I just kept on using. I had a beautiful little girl. So in active addiction, I had three beautiful children. And I remember when my youngest boy, Elijah, was born, and I was standing over the bassinet, and we had no electricity, and we had a lawn chair like that in our master bedroom. And the hospital had just told me that I had to leave the hospital and I couldn't see my son Elijah. And I remember being at home and I couldn't stop using, and there was no electricity, and we were running the electricity into the laundry room. And Elijah came home, he was probably 3 days old, and he was sitting in the bassinet. And I asked God, why did you give me this child? Because he was so precious, and I knew where I'd been already with Frankie. I knew that I couldn't stop using. I knew that I couldn't get through my front door of my apartment into my apartment without getting what I want in the hallway. I knew my kids were living in insane, miserable places. Nobody told me that I could stop, man. I knew when Elijah was born that I was hopeless and helpless. You know, and my daughter was born after that, and after my daughter was born, I just kept on using and using and using, and I put them out on the streets, and I said when the money came in, state taxes and money I would save up, we're going to get a place, you just go with your mom. And I come to her mom's house to take my money, I want to use more, and I'm thinking about putting a roof over your head. And my disease kept progressing and progressing. You know, in the first shot of hope, I got Narcotics Anonymous down on 9th Street right here in Ocean City. A guy who took me to the plasma bank when I was about 16 and a half under somebody else's name. It was my first paycheck I ever had in my whole life, $7. And in humility, having to go to my mom, sign this $7 check because I just came to the plasma bank an hour ago. Because at the bank, they took 75 cents out. He said, we can do this for money. And I remember being in the grip back down the beach there, and I'd seen him. I'd seen him walking down the boardwalk with about 3 years clean. And I told myself I would never end up like him. And he was walking with his girlfriend, and they were walking down the beach. I took the 12-ounce, put it behind my back. I'm doing good. And he looked at me. There was a glow around him. Nothing he said. There was so much God in his face. I identified that there was something different. That was the first thing that I ever seen with Narcotics Anonymous had anything to do with this program and God. And February 25th, 1992, I was in Upper Marlboro Jail for the 100th time. I told myself I'd never come back to that jail. Handful of charges. It's your fault. It's everybody's fault here. When I get out, I'm going to do what I know. I'm going to go choke her. I told you, if you ever got me locked up, that'd be it. I'm going. She saved my life. I hated that woman so much because she loved me. She'd done anything for me. I walked out of that jail, and the first thought that came to me was him walking down the boardwalk. I called him. I said, let me try something different. He said, I've been praying and hoping and wishing for you, Frank. I'll come get you. The next day, I came to my Narcotics Anonymous meeting, which I thought was mine, and God gave me a wrong deal here. It was a raw deal. I didn't want to come here. I always told myself I could stay clean all by myself. Thank God that God had him clean to give me the love and the hope that I needed at that time in my life. And I picked the white key tag up, and I had reservations that I was going to get her and the 3 children back. That I could do this. But the pain was great enough inside that for some reason it turned into a desire to stay clean and stay here. And want to stay here. I had never been so frightened in my life. I detoxed in the rooms. Nobody ever had a chance to say an active addiction, Frank, try a rehab. I just fought the hardest fight in my whole life, man. In basements of churches with snot running down my nose, shaking, scared, cussing, yelling, screaming, holding on, holding people's hands, showing up at meetings and not wanting to take my arms off you because I was so scared of walking out of the meeting not knowing what was going to happen to me. A disease yelling at me that I didn't even know I had. Something that was yelling at me, telling me you can't stay clean. Something that kept telling me, go ahead and check out of here, kill yourself. And you people told me that you love me till I would love myself. You know, and I got some hope. I got some hope. I got a home group. I kept coming back. I seen some people that I used with that had clean time. I went to court 11 times in my first year clean, fighting to get my children back. That red carpet was open one day. At about 4.5 months clean, that red carpet was open. Let me back up a little bit. Let me talk about why I'm still here. Let me talk about 92 days clean and the shame and the guilt that I felt about throwing my mom around. That I was too scared about to tell you. That I used to go to her work and steal a purse and make her leave jobs and make her hide. Let me share about what the pain and the shame that I felt when I got here and was too scared to talk about with you. And at 92 days clean, my mom died. That gave me the hope. I came to a meeting, I talked about it. Somebody had went through it. I didn't see my mom clean. I was angry. I was full of hate. I hated God. I hated everything. I just held on, man. I just held on hard because I knew. I knew y'all told me if I didn't use it, it'd be all right. That it would be better. You know? But I hurt, man, because all I wanted to do was see my mom and let her know that I was clean. It wasn't until a couple months ago that I really found out why that happened. My mom died in Washington Hospital Center in Washington, D.C. from emphysema. Basic text says you can be prayed over. I was prayed and her prayers were answered. I know that. I know that. I know that my mom loved me more sometimes than her own children. I know that. I know she's proud of me today. I feel her spirit in these rooms. I feel her spirit in prayer. I feel her spirit in everything I do. I feel her spirit by going to the cemetery where I used to urinate and party at, burying her clean, being able to go there by myself and put a rose on her tombstone and sit there clean, not in the crypt, all by myself. God's given me that gift to be able to do that, man. To just drive down the road and pull right in and walk through the gravesite and just spend some time and show my respects. You know, it's a constant ninth step. It's been that. You know, and people in recovery have gone there with me because they were in too much fear of going to their loved ones. And we've gone to their loved ones. And I started healing. I started writing the steps. I started believing in something, which was the group. I finally got that real touch of hope. My wound inside started healing. I started writing about me, my exact natures. Some things started changing in my recovery. My recovery blasted off. Like an addict, I became obsessed with Narcotics Anonymous. Obsessed. Obsessed, man. Trust me, obsessed. Everything I've ever wanted clean, I've gotten. And I've lost, but my clean date so far. God's got a way of drawing my attention real quick. At about 4.5 months clean, that red carpet was open. The three children, the house, her. Everything I prayed for and wished and hoped for, my reservation changed because I wanted to stay clean now. And grow and be better. Because I started liking myself somewhat. Somewhat. And I went there for 24 hours. At this time, she was still in her active addiction. And God gave me a choice, and you people gave me a choice that I can move back home with her and the children, have the white picket fence, all that, that I did want. I stayed there for 24 hours, got off my hands and knees and left. Because I knew one thing, though, I still had a reservation that I was going to use with her again one day. I was going to put my hands on her. And I chose this program first. It was the first time I really believed I put Narcotics Anonymous first in my life before anything. I had surrendered. I knew that there was a better way. It was hard, man, because I remember my three children looking out the window and looking at me. Frank and Elijah and Kirstie not understanding why their dad was grabbing the two milk crates that he left with and was leaving again. But I had to choose my recovery first, man. You know, and like, I just knew that back then that I had to do what I had to do because I was too fearful of using. My first time around the steps, I was too fearful of using. That's why I wrote a four step. That's why I admitted to God and I worked on that relationship into myself, another human being. That's why I started building my trust with my friends and my God and my sponsor and my network. Because things started changing in my life. I got in a relationship at 9 months clean with someone out of the program. I had a little bit over a year clean. My grandfather died. I buried my grandfather right next to my mom. At that time, in my recovery got real good. It got real good. Got to home, my family members started coming back in my life. Last time I put my hands on my brother, I tried to kill him for $10 in his moped. A year and a half ago, upstairs, my homegirl, I put my arms around him and hugged him when my niece was born. And he told me I got my brother back. You know? So like it happens, man. And my sister was back in my life. And I was able to be there for someone in my family burying my grandfather. My grandmother was still alive. My family came back in my life. My children came back in my life. The house. Sponsees. I started doing some things around here. I came obsessed, like I said, with Narcotics Anonymous. I had 7 service positions, going to meetings every day, 3 or 4 times a day. Forget the bills. Forget everything. Okay. Went on for 3.5 years in recovery. I thought I was doing the right things. She was at home. I'm going to a meeting. Everything's NA calls. I'm gone. I am gone. 6 during the meetings, in the mornings, in meetings, before work, whenever I could, I was just like in the meeting, I was hiding. I didn't know who I was. I was still scared of life. You know, I thought that I had arrived at 3 years clean and had the house. You know, I had someone who loved me unconditionally from the past. Had good times down here. I tell you, I used down here. I hurt people down here. I beat feet walking the beach down here. 6 during the morning don't mean nothing to me down here. Because I used down here, and I was up all night, you know? My friends were saying we're like troopers coming out here. Man, if it was freezing cold, and snow was this deep, and God asked me to do this, I'd be here, man. Because I was out there with snow that deep, standing there. And was like, at 3.5 years clean, she said she didn't love me no more. I was engaged to get married. And failure hit me again. L showed up on my head. I was a loser again. The house was gone. The job was gone. I was hurt. I moved out the house. Chased her into active addiction. Went to places where we don't carry our message at. And felt miserable about myself again. Okay? I didn't like who I was in my skin again. I'd worked real hard on learning how to look in the mirror and say, Frank, you're a good guy. You're not a cold-blooded loser no more. You're a winner, man. What our literature tells us that we are. And I got back into the grip again. I was in meetings and the walls got real shallow. And everybody kept telling me, Frank, we love you. We love you. And I could not hear it. I couldn't feel it in your arms. Because I felt that I failed again. Wounds that hadn't been healed, opened again, that I thought were healed. My past more was revealed. more things started happening. My disease was more powerful than I had ever imagined. I had done a lot of service. I had done a lot of things up to this time. I'd been on program committees in the Chesapeake Potomac region for a convention here. I'd been a lot of places helping newcomers. I had newcomers in my life. I had sponsors in my life. I had a lot going on. I had a loving God that I believed in. I trusted in God. And I just trusted that I would make it through this, but the disease at one time, it came to me more powerful than I had ever imagined. And I had ever imagined in my recovery. I started sabotaging my recovery. I started tearing myself apart. I started driving in neighborhoods where I used to use that. I started picking up whores on the streets. Because I didn't feel good about myself. And I'd come to meetings in pain. And too scared to talk about it. Too scared to tell you that I don't like myself and that I want to die. Because people's expectations on me were just like this. And I wanted to keep them there and tell you that I was okay. But inside I was dying, man. I was dying. At 4 years clean, I was in a basement of my friend's house with the belt taken off my waist, getting ready to hang myself. It wasn't about the drug no more. It's about I didn't like myself. It's about that I wanted to get out of here quick. I couldn't take it no more. I wasn't staying clean on yesterday's clean time at all. I was just showing up and at nights getting on my hands and knees and just thanking God that I made it that day. That I'm out using, man. And it was real hard. I'm okay with sharing that today because I've healed. But I'm still going through stuff in the process. I still got some drama in my life. I'm not going to tell you that I've arrived. I'm unique. I'm not going to share that. I share about where I'm at. And then I started sabotaging my life. I started tearing myself down. And it's been a long process in 2 years to get back up. Because when you tear yourself down, I believe you just don't heal again overnight. It just took a lot of time. A lot of sharing, a lot of praying, a lot of writing and talking about it. And staying out of here and believing in my heart that I'm a good person. Learning how to love myself. You know, and when I was up in that detox where I take an H&I commitment that evening, the counselor was talking to me and he was telling me, Frank, you're not here for the meeting tonight. You're here because what? Because I thought about killing myself today. And I was in the process. People in Narcotics Anonymous showed up. And I was sitting on the bed, and that morning, I seen my three children walking across the crosswalk to their elementary school. And I got a glimpse of them from the light on the way to work. And I was sitting on the bed, and I came out of prayer, and that's the first thought. That was the first thought of why I got clean. I didn't come here to find a woman. I didn't come here for a job. I didn't come here to find God. I definitely didn't come here to do this and tell you about me. I didn't come here for any grandiose stuff. Celebrate clean time. I came here for three children. Three children. That's why I got clean. The desire and a lot of things have changed since then. I keep coming back for all different reasons. Because I don't want to go back. My desire has changed. And I slowly came up out of that. Because some people had been there with clean time that had wanted to commit suicide in these rooms clean. And they came to me. And they shared with me. And they prayed with me. And we together made it through it. Thank God for God. Thank God for God to plant that mustard seed and that flame back inside of me to keep on coming. Thank God the desire and the willingness and the enthusiasm changed. And I started growing again to keep on coming. You know, and thank God I'm not there 2 years ago. But in the process of that, I neglected a lot of responsibilities in recovery. I felt I could run around, do what I want to do here. It don't work like that. God gave me my will back. God said, you can do anything you want to do here. Anything. And I have. My disease manifests itself in all areas. all areas. Money, property, prestige, sharing clean, living dirty, talking about what I'm supposed to be doing and not doing it, neglecting my three children because I was in the grip. And I couldn't understand why not paying child support. Being locked up clean. Getting in touch with myself. Why I am here. Thank God for the people in my life. Thank God for my network. Thank God for the people that won't let me die here. Because they'll bring me up real quick. My step study group, the men that are in my life, the women that are in my life that I do love from the neck up. That's been a process. 3 months ago, I walked through something I never would imagine in my life, but this time I did it clean with the help of my network and the God I'm understanding more than anything, because I told the disease to shut up and leave. I spent five and a half beautiful years with my grandmother in my life. We laughed, we joked. I was welcomed back in her house. She died on the same hospital floor that my mom did, maybe a couple rooms down from where she died from the same thing, emphysema. Now, I used to steal my mom's cigarettes from her and run down the street, and she said, "Frank, come back, give them to me, and I'll give you $20. And I said, "Sure." My grandmother passed away about 3.5-4 months now. And she was in my life for 5.5 years. You know, my recovery. And it really rocked my other part of my family, my brother, my aunt, and my sister. It rocked them real hard because I've watched them go through it. But thank God I was there for them, because at the funeral, we were all together, and I was holding on to my aunt, and I was holding on to my brother this time, and I was able to be there for them as they were there for me at one time. You know, and I remember about a week before she passed away, and I had a sense of feeling that she was getting ready to pass away. And she went into the Washington Hospital Center in D.C., and I told myself I'm going to see my grandmother. And the disease said, "Don't go." And about almost 3 years clean, I'd made a direct amends to my grandmother, and I'd said, "You know, Grandma, I really apologize for the things that I did in active addiction." She stopped me in the process of that, and she said, "Frank, I forgive you because God's forgiven you." And that's all that kept playing in my mind, and that I kept thinking on the way down to see her in the hospital. And the disease was yelling at me as I was walking through the hallways because I wasn't there almost 5 years ago for my mom. And it kept telling me, "Turn around and leave." But y'all kept telling me, "You got to go, Frank. You got to go. It's going to be all right. You got to go." And I walked through the hallway, found out where her room is, and I walked into her room. And she was sleeping. She was sitting up in the bed with her eyes back, and I knew everything was all right. It was quiet. I was real quiet, and she said, "Frank, is that you?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I knew you were coming." I knew you were coming. And I felt okay. Her eyes woke up, she smiled, she looked at me, and we talked. Asked her if she was okay, and she told me, she said, "Your mom would be so proud of you today." She told me, she said, "Your mom would be so proud of you. I love you so much. So much. So much." And we laughed, and I wanted to feed her, and she said no. She fed herself, and I walked up out of there. When I walked up out of there, I said, "God damn, I put the hit on the disease, and I'm okay, man, and I did the right thing, man." Right? Right? So I walked through it. God allowed me to walk through that, you know? I buried it clean, man. And I walked through it and was there for my family. And the people in Narcotics Anonymous were having fun. They were at a convention and they were praying for me and they were thinking about me. While they were assuming their fun, they were still thinking about me and praying for me, you know? But I was right where I was supposed to be, man. There's no reason to use. There's just no reason to use, man. Every day I wake up, I know there's no reason to use, no matter what. No matter what, no matter how bad I feel. No. They didn't promise me that. I work the steps and allow God in my life and allow God to bring it to me, man. And I'm real grateful that you people told me that I could experience something like that. And I know why today I wasn't there at 92 days clean. I don't think I was, definitely know I wasn't healthy enough to see my mom on the hospital bed. God talked through somebody else and allowed me to find closure with that. I'm healed inside today. I have no problem sharing about my relationships, you know. Just like to say thank you, people. You know, thank you, people, for loving each one another and being there for me. I don't see no color today. Most of the time, things are okay, but I do have my drama. I do have my process, and I'm just trying to get better. You know, I just don't want to be the person that I was when I came in here almost 6 years ago, man. Y'all told me I never have to go back, man. If nobody told you that they love you, I love you. I really do. So give me a hug, and I keep coming back.